On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from sunny Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island on WBLQ AM 1230 radio, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, whether live or in the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something that affects so many of us this time of year. And it tends to affect us off and on throughout our entire year. So what we're going to be talking about today is stress and how to handle a certain kind of stress. And we're going to be getting some tips about having some new strategies to apply. But before we get into that, I want to say hello and good morning to Eric.
Hey, good morning there. And happy Friday, Christine.
Happy
Great
Friday
to
you as well. It's nice to see you here. I know Benny is doing something with his kids today, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's the holiday season, so he's off having some holiday fun.
That's fabulous. And I'm very grateful you're here doing all that magic behind all those computer screens and all those boards. So thank you for doing what you do.
Oh, my pleasure.
And, you know, it is the holiday season, and for those of us who celebrate one of the holidays or another, or for those of us who have to drive anywhere when other people are celebrating the holidays, we know that there are some additional stresses. And my guest today is a dear friend, a wise woman, and she has a lot of gifts to share that can help us with exactly that. Meryl Hershey Beck is who I'm talking about today. She's a woman with, I think, two master's degrees. She's a licensed professional clinical counselor. She's an emotional eating recovery consultant, and she's got an amazing story of her own. She's a personal growth expert. Her Amazon best-selling book, Stop Eating Your Heart Out, tells her own story of recovering from her binge eating disorder. And she offers us tools to break chains of emotional eating, decrease our self-judgment, and increase our self-acceptance. She's known as the Queen of Emerging Joy, and I love that title because if you know Meryl well, you know that title fits her perfectly. She's an international speaker and presenter, and she's appeared on radio, television, and on many online summits. I'd like to welcome today my special guest, Meryl Hershey Beck. Hi, Meryl.
Hi, Chris. So nice to be here with you.
Yeah, you know me well enough that you say Chris instead of Christine, right? You know, the whole world who listens to the show thinks it's Christine, but you know, right, don't you? You know, Meryl, we've been wanting to have you on the show for a really long time, and this just seemed like the perfect moment because we're sort of in the midst of the holiday rush and the holiday food and the holiday stress. What is it about this time of year that seems to bring out the worst in us on some level?
Well, imagine a Norman Rockwell painting.
Uh-huh.
That's what people think we're supposed to be living right now.
Oh, dear.
And our expectations are so high, they're unrealistic. I don't know very many people, if any, that are living that Norman Rockwell painting.
Uh-huh.
Have Martha Stewart in to prepare their house to look like it should,
right,
or their food to look exquisite, you know?
Yeah.
We have such unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
We have unresolved family issues, and
is
the time when we're put in with family, and sometimes the unresolved issues from our childhood comes up.
Uh-huh.
And so often for people who've lost a loved one, mm-hmm, and it brings up grief for us now.
Oh, it does. It really does.
So there's all kinds of things. We have the fear of weight gain.
Uh-huh.
Like last night I ate foods that I'm not usually eating because,
right,
I went to a party, and
uh-huh,
I mentioned it to my friend Robin, who's staying with me right now,
uh-huh,
by the way. And then I brought my daughter some mini chocolate gluten-free muffins, and I said, oh, I might as well eat one. I didn't say bad, but something along that line. I couldn't believe I was using those judgment terms on myself.
Right. And I know that for me personally, I've been staying away from sugar, and suddenly I'm eating sugar again. And it's this balancing act between allowing myself the joy of partaking in, you know, some of these things, but not getting myself into a situation where I get addicted again, which brings me to the subject of your book.
Okay.
Well, you know, your book is entitled Stop Eating Your Heart Out, and it's been a bestseller. What is it about this book? You know, first of all, let me ask you, why did you write this book? Because it's you've got a very personal story in here. What inspired you to share this with others?
Well, I actually went to a retreat where we all did some writing, and I thought I was going to be writing about energy techniques, which I want to talk to you about eventually.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, it was sort of like I would say the pen to paper, but it was really my fingers to the keyboard.
Uh-huh, right.
And outflowed these words about my story. Uh-huh. And I had an undiagnosed binge eating disorder, mm-hmm. and I thought I was crazy. In front of people, I would be, you know, like last night I was eating chips and salsa, which I don't ever eat.
Uh-huh.
But I would never have done that in my old life. When I suffered binge eating disorder, nobody ever knew I ate anything fattening.
So you would eat those things, but not in front of others.
Absolutely. It was such a huge secret.
Uh-huh.
So my binging was alone. My eating of anything, you know, that was considered, you know, a fattening food or
right.
not a diet food
uh-huh.
would be totally alone. The size of my portions was huge. Nobody knew how much I could eat. In fact, when I was a kid and I went to school camp in fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
and there was a pancake eating contest. So that was the first time I would allow people to see how much I could eat, because it was a contest and I could get rewarded for it.
Well, oh, dear.
I was announced the winner for the girls, but I could have kept eating. I wasn't really done when they already announced me the winner.
Oh,
you know, if you want to see how much I could pack away, give me a few more, you know, lots more pancakes. I could have done it.
So you're living this dual life, you know, the eating around others and the eating behind closed doors.
Right.
At what cost?
Oh, I grew up at the time that the song The Great Pretender was one of the songs.
Uh-huh.
And that was what I said I was. I was a fraud. I was a pretender. Nobody knew who I really am.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew what I didn't acknowledge what I was feeling.
Right.
So how would anybody else know that?
Sure.
But I certainly wouldn't let anybody know what kind of eater I was.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, later on when I was dating, we'd go out for dinner, but I'd make sure I ate way ahead of time before he picked me up.
Right.
And then I'd have a little salad for dinner because
mm-hmm.
I had to be, quote, good. You know,
right.
This is too bad you're not seeing I'm doing the quotation marks in my fingers as we talk. You know, and it was that whole thing about good and bad.
Right.
And that's one of my biggest pet peeves now is, oh, and I did it last night. I couldn't believe it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm so good. I ate all these diet foods. Oh, I'm so bad. I ate a chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, food and eating is not moral. It's not about whether we're good or bad.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we make choices that are really healthy, and sometimes we make choices that are less than healthy for us at
mm-hmm.
the moment, but they're not going to kill us.
Right. So in that situation where, you know, we've got that judgment, and it's really, I mean, yes, we can judge others about it, but really the worst of it is with the self-judgment of good versus bad.
Right.
How does that affect our eating?
Well, the truth is, and I'm pretty sure I saw scientific evidence of this, and I'm not making it up, I'm pretty sure, but I can't guarantee it 100%, is that we metabolize food differently if we're eating for pleasure rather than we're eating with guilt.
Right. I think I have seen some research on that,
yeah.
too, and I fully believe that.
You know, so if we can enjoy something, and one of the keys for enjoying and having pleasure with our eating is to slow down enough to taste it.
Uh-huh.
I know that, and I still work on not eating too rapidly, but that was my one of the biggest things when I was in my binge eating disorder,
mm-hmm.
I was just shoveling food in and I couldn't taste it. just, I needed to fill this hole in my soul that I thought I could use food to fill. It's the same hole that the alcoholics using alcohol and the drug addicts using drugs, you know, any of the addictions.
Right.
It's
right.
The hole in the soul. It's not really an emptiness in the belly.
Yeah. And you know,
and now, if we can slow down enough to enjoy, you know, like my little mini muffin that I had last night, I've tasted it and I went, wow, this is, you know, it just didn't just go from my hand down my throat. I chewed it, I tasted it, I enjoyed it for that moment. And one reason I know it wasn't an addiction is I had one and I didn't say I have to go and finish the package.
Right, right.
You know, when I was in the binge eating disorder, I couldn't eat just one. When I was in food addiction, I couldn't eat just one. And that's probably the biggest caution for listeners now. If we want to enjoy something for the holidays, can we eat just one or do we have to eat the whole package?
Right.
Because if we can just eat one, great. If we're gonna, if it's going to take us off and running into the next binge, into the next overeating spree, let's be careful what we're choosing then.
Right. And one of the things I find so fascinating about this concept of eating more slowly, I mean, yes, indeed, it's about having awareness of the taste. But I think also as we slow down, we become more aware of what we're feeling.
Right.
So if there's an emotional component to what we're putting into our mouth, then we become aware of it. And I think that when we have addictive behavior, we try to avoid feeling it. We try to hide, you know, suppress the stuff that's going on behind it that's sort of causing it.
Absolutely. And how often do we go to the food when we're having emotions that, you know, we're feeling upset about something? I'm angry with my boss, so I'll go get chips. I'm feeling empty and unloved, so go get chocolate. You know, there's certain foods that we just tend to go to for emotional needs rather than for the nutritional needs or even the pleasure.
Right, right.
And it doesn't work. I mean, it works for a little while, but then the guilt comes up and the remorse, and it takes away any of the enjoyment there, even if there was only a little bit.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you're so wonderful about is teaching us some long-term strategies, not only relating to food, but stress in general. And I think we could all use that about now here during the holidays, but we have to go to a quick break. More with Merrill Hershey Beck here in just a few moments.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time. Talk Radio.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health, Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolve, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Pretending that you're still around.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Meryl, you know, you were talking before the break about sort of the behind-the-scenes binge eating, the stuff that you were hiding, and we talked a little bit about the motivations. So you had this situation in your life. How did you ultimately heal it, and why did you want to share your story with the world?
Well, as I started to say, I didn't know I was going to share my story with the world. I went to a retreat to learn to write a book and thought I was going to write about energy strategies, and this just showed up.
Uh-huh.
So I needed to tell my story, and when I sent it out to different publishers, they all said, you know, we love your writing. Not they all. Two important ones said, we really like your writing, but memoirs are not selling on the self-help shelves. Will you write it more as a self-help book?
Uh-huh.
So then I really put in all the different tools and techniques that I use for my own recovery. For me personally, I got involved in 12-step recovery,
mm-hmm.
And I know that some people get turned off by it or haven't explored it or aren't interested in it, and that's okay. I just wanted to say that was my first attempt of really doing something different rather than just going back to Weight Watchers and Diet Workshop and all the different things I had tried before.
Uh-huh.
And for some people, they walk in and they say, I'm home. Mm-hmm. For me, I walked in and I thought I was going to gag.
Because, really?
You know, I was raised in Jewish religion, and for some reason, I believed that people of the non-Jewish faith, specifically Christians, were out to convert us.
Well, some probably are, but yes.
The meetings were held in churches, and there's pictures of Jesus, and there's crosses.
Right.
And every time they said God, I rolled my eyes, and I was with my friend who brought me, and she also is Jewish. And I thought, this is so queer. I can't believe I'm here.
Right, right.
And then they were talking about feelings. Well, you know, growing up, I came to believe that the only feelings I was allowed to have and express, one was joy and happiness, and the other one was sadness. But it better be for a good reason, like someone died, rather than I wasn't invited to a party or I wasn't picked for a team. So, you know, my feelings were suppressed, and the way they were suppressed is I used food to push them down.
Right, right. Because I think so many people do.
Yeah, so for years, in fact, they called me Smiley in high school because I'd walk through the halls smiling and totally out of touch with what I was really feeling.
Right.
Because I had this belief is what I showed the world is what counts. It doesn't matter what's going on inside.
Yeah.
Besides, I didn't know what was going on inside. Yeah. I never stopped to know.
Right.
So I went to these 12-step recovery meetings, and that's where I had a spiritual awakening, and I found out that the God that I had was believing in was a punishing God. No wonder I wanted to be an agnostic or an atheist.
Yes.
And I had to turn that around.
Interesting. So there you were in a church with crosses and Christianity, at least in the sidelines, and you didn't convert, but you had a spiritual experience.
Well, it took us several years.
Uh-huh.
And my turning point was when I heard a speaker at a retreat say, I was born Jewish. Well, I could listen to him. He's not going to convert me.
Right.
And he's talked about having a loving higher power, a loving God.
Uh-huh.
And that was, you know, that wasn't the Yom Kippur God that's going to punish you. And
right.
you have to ask for forgiveness for all these sins.
Yes.
And, you know, my sins were little things like, oh, when my brother was little, I'm 6 years older, I would say to him things like, Danny, get me my beach towel, please. And I knew there was a bee on it and I was afraid of it. And he got stung. And then I was, oh, you poor thing. I'm so sorry. So those were my bads.
Being a typical kid and having one of those moments. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, it wasn't, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't, you know, I didn't do any big bads.
Right.
But I had lots of little bads. And I thought God was like the Santa Claus God. He knows when you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake.
Right, right.
And chalking it up. Oh, another bad, another bad, another bad. And I'm going to cry, Chris, sorry.
No, that's okay.
And I thought, you know, he's going to get you. Mm-hmm. And how better to get you than I had two healthy children. I had a good family relationship. You know, I was in a marriage and he was supporting me and two cars in the garage, the bourbon house. So how better for this God to get me than to have one of my kids wake up with an incurable illness?
Oh.
And I lived like that for many years.
Oh my
gosh. It was so awful. Is today the day that I'm going to find out that God's punishing me?
Wow.
So it was like, it changed my world to have that spiritual experience and be able to say, my God loves me no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what.
Right.
I am God. God is me. God is people. God is all loving.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, bad things happen in the world, but it's not because I'm being punished.
Wow. And
that's
huge. So I think that many of us, whether or not we were raised in a religion with this concept of a punishing God, we feel a lot of self-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
How does the self-judgment play into stress and eating disorders in particular?
Okay, so this is my belief system, and I wrote about it in the book about embracing the inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we all have an inner critic.
Oh, yeah. And mine's a you-know-what. I can't say it because we're over the airwaves here as opposed to just podcasts, but yes.
But my belief is the inner critic develops because we are born into families and society and a culture that wants to civilize us.
Uh-huh.
So they teach us the rights and the wrongs. I mean, things that are for our benefit, like about crossing the street, not touching the hot stove, but also what clothes look good on you and
right.
how best to wear your hair.
Uh-huh.
And we internalize those voices and they become stronger and more critical than any parent or caregiver ever was.
Right.
But they started out trying to help us fit into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I have different techniques that I use when I hear my critical voice.
Okay.
And first, I have to make sure that my strong, adult, healthy self is on board. And that's that part of me that's connected to that loving God, connected to Source, connected to all that's good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it comes from a place of criticism, and I start talking from that place to the voice that says, you know, your hair looks terrible today.
Uh-huh.
And if the critical voice says, yeah, you're right, you know, go to the beauty shop already, do something different.
Uh-huh.
But if it comes from the healthy adult connected to a loving God place, it will say something like, oh, you're really feeling sad because you don't like the way your hair looks today.
Uh-huh.
So it's understanding that point of view.
Right. It's recognizing the vulnerability and as opposed to focus on the hair.
Right. And understanding the needs beneath it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't think people will like the way you look and you
right.
want to be accepted by other people.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, what are the needs underneath it that's causing it? So some people believe that we need to basically shoot or kill our inner critic. And my belief is we just need to understand what's going on. What are the needs beneath it beneath that voice that's trying to help us in a way that's not working at the moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. It's kind of like parenting the inner critic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
coming
it.
From that, again, from that gentle place, that loving, compassionate place. If you become from that critical parent part, because, you know, there we have that too.
Right.
Well, you should.
Right,
you
right.
should. Yeah. You should. Yeah. So it's coming from a very gentle place of understanding. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to say to the critic, you know, okay, I don't have time to deal with you right now. Step aside, or, you know, I'm gonna do what I need to do, and uh-huh. later we'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't like to be ignored, does it? The inner critic
right.
does not like to be ignored.
But I remember years ago what I did when I, because I didn't have just one voice that showed up. Uh-huh. I had this whole group of voices that would show up criticizing me at once.
Uh-huh.
So I pictured them around a big conference table. You know, and they're all yapping away.
Right.
And I could stand up in my healthy adult self, look at them and say, thank you for your input. Now sit down and shut up.
I love that. I love that. So you're the CEO at that conference table. Yes. The grown up version, loving version. Yes. You know, Meryl, we're going to want to hear, you know, some of your other strategies for dealing with not only our compulsive eating, perhaps during the holidays or in general, but more about any kinds of stress that we face that involves the self-judgment, that involves us, you know, having these needs that we're trying to resolve in a different way. But I do want to say that we have to go to break. We've got a number for people to call in. If you want to call in and talk to Meryl and ask for some help with certain strategies, then Eric's got the number for you.
Give us a call at 800-930-2819.
Okay, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday. While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you. Season and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground, and when old Santa gets
be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
When he's coming down the chimney down.
When he's coming down the chimney down.
He'll have a big fat pie upon his back. And lots of goodies for you and for me. So
welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Merrill Hershey Beck. She's a best-selling author of Stop Eating Your Heart Out, and she is known as the Queen of Emerging Joy. She helps people in a variety of ways find their center, find their joy, and release those things that no longer serve us. And today we are talking about the stresses of the holidays, and we've talked a lot about the inner critics and some issues associated with eating. And I know that's very relevant in the holidays, but there's something else that's really huge for me within the context of the holiday season, and that is the grief that arises in a couple of different ways. On one hand, you know, both my parents passed away back in 2011, so I miss them. But my mother, who I had issues with in general, was such a wonderful mother, particularly during the holidays. It's a time that I felt loved. So I have a deep sense of longing and missing her. And also, I think as my children get older, I'm grieving that the holidays are no longer what they used to be in certain ways. How do we deal with the grief that arises during the context of the holidays?
You know, that's really a good question, Chris, because it's really hard when we're feeling grief to see so many families being together and so happy. It reminds us of what we're not having and the losses that we have sometimes.
So the
first Christmas, my son died 5 years ago. Uh-huh. So the first Christmas, I thought, no problem. We don't celebrate Christmas. I already said we're Jewish. We don't celebrate Christmas. It's not going to be a problem.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't walk into stores. I couldn't do anything without seeing happy families. I mean, first of all, it was fresh grief. He died in October, you know, so it was pretty fresh, the grief.
Yeah.
But this year, it's again, a lot of grief. Missing my son started with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's supposed to be here. This is family time. He's supposed to be here.
Right.
So one of the things, and I just did a little video that's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Meryl Beck, M-E-R-Y-L-B-E-C-K. There's lots of different tips because I also did a blog on it. But the one that came to me recently is to allow ourselves to feel the feelings. Because otherwise, we will be pushing them down and we'll use whatever we can to push them down. And my way was always food, you know. But there's certainly enough alcohol to do it nowadays, this time of year, too.
And television and you know, all sorts of distractions.
And porn and sex and, you know, a whole bunch of other and shopping.
Yes.
Shopping is a really big addiction, especially now.
Right.
You know, and a good mood alterer.
Yes.
And so instead of needing to find a mood alterer, allowing ourselves to feel the feelings, but in a very small time period.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you decide every day at 11 a.m. I'm going to set my timer for a half hour, and I'm going to remember the person and allow myself to have whatever feelings come up. I might scream. I might cry.
Right.
I might want to journal. I might want to do some tapping, which we can talk about in a minute.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it is I want to do, but to give yourself permission to have all your feelings.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, I'm going to put it away for today, and I'm going to revisit again tomorrow.
Yeah, sometimes the compartmentalization of it can be difficult, though. I know that, you know, there's a particular store that is just decked for the holidays, and I walk in there, and I'll hear the music, and I'll look at the things that my mother found to be so beautiful. We used to go to that store together during the holidays, and sometimes the tears will start to come, and I have a hard time sort of compartmentalizing that. But I'm I'm accepting enough of my feelings that I allow the tears to stream and figure if anybody's going to look at me and worry or judge, you know, it's their thing. But it's kind of hard to sort of set a time, the compartmentalized time
right.
for the grief.
Yes, I agree. It is for a lot of times. And, you know, it's great that you allow yourself to have your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we tend to do, we as human beings, is when we have our feelings, hold our breath. So remember to breathe when you're
right.
having whatever the feelings are.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's lots of different breathing techniques, but just saying, as soon as you start feeling the tears coming, just breathe.
Yeah.
And that helps move it through rather than it being like a choking feeling.
Right, right. And, you know, that allowing piece, which I think the breath helps to bring.
Right.
You know, through the exhalation, the deep inhalation and then exhalation, it... yeah, it can make all the difference in terms of moving that grief. You're right.
And so, and the other thing I do a lot of is I talk to my son in my own head.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe I'm making it up, but it makes me feel better.
Right.
And for instance, at Thanksgiving, I was saying, you know, Richon, I'm really missing you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could imagine him, and I, you know, I could feel his presence. Like he was there rubbing my shoulders.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I heard the words, and I, yeah, maybe I made them up, but maybe I heard them.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mom, I love you, I miss you, and I'm sorry you're so sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that you've had some interesting experiences that are probably not just the imagination, and we won't get into that here because it's not the focus, but I know that you have a strong connection with him on the other side.
Right.
And yet... You know, even if we have this total knowingness and belief of, you know, our loved ones still exists in some way and we have the ability sometimes to connect with them, it still doesn't take away from the fact that he's not there at the dinner table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's like for many of us, I'm not afraid of dying.
Uh-huh.
But when other people leave, we have all that grief. It's the ones that are left that are suffering.
Yes.
Not the person, from my belief, not the person who died.
Indeed.
You know, right. they're enjoying this bliss and light and of whatever else.
Right.
And we're here missing them. It's the missing.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, and missing the physical hug. Sure, I still connect with them, but I don't. But I did have it. I've had more than one visitation, and in one, in a dream state, I actually was able to hug him, and I talked to someone who's a medium, and he said that's very unusual because in a dream, when a deceased person allows you to hug them, it feels so good you don't want to come back.
Oh, right.
And I was allowed to hug him and come back, so yeah. that I was told it was very unusual, but it was wonderful.
You do work in this ethereal realm, so you're used to sort of going to the other side of the veil in some sense and coming back. So that makes perfect sense to me.
Right.
Looks like we've got a caller, Robin from Tucson. Robin, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome
Thank
to the Christine Upchurch Show. Do you have a question for Meryl? I'm sorry.
I do. The conversation was very powerful. I saw Meryl give a talk not too long ago, and I know, Meryl, that even though you've been going through times of really profound grief, as well as the holidays, you have kept your weight off. And you offer a lot of hope to Rishon, because if you can do it with everything that you're going through, it is encouraging to the rest of us. But how have you done that?
So I'm just going to repeat the question because the connection with Robin is a little weak. Meryl, she's asking, despite all the things that you've gone through, the stress of losing your son, the stress of the holidays, with your background in binge eating, how have you managed to maintain the normal weight, the weight loss?
Well, first of all, I have changed my relationship with food, because before it was the enemy.
Uh-huh.
And I was bad when I ate like that little muffin.
Right.
I've totally changed that. Food is food. It's meant for nutrition and for pleasure.
Uh-huh.
You know, and when I remember to slow down, I actually will enjoy the meal rather than shoveling it in. I think more than anything, what's helped are the energy techniques.
Uh-huh.
For instance, The people I'm connected with, my spiritual community, they all know how to send energy. And when we send energy, we want to make sure we don't send our own, because our energy is finite. But when we tap into universal energy and earth energy, it's infinite. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than the ocean. It's infinite.
Right.
And so we teach people how to send energy. And when I'm feeling low, which used to be a time when I'd have to go get something to eat, uh-huh. I will even put it on Facebook and say, I'm really having trouble today. Will you send energy?
Right.
And I can feel myself being lifted.
Yeah,
so it's
great.
Not just prayers, it's really sending energy
uh-huh.
to help hold me up.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because I think that our notion of prayer is that we are asking some sort of external source to help somebody, when in fact we have the power to kind of direct that source directly to them.
I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you want to share some of the tapping techniques.
Yeah, I was going to say, and so that's one. And the other is source tapping, which is an updated version of EFT.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing this since 1997 or 1998.
Uh-huh.
And it's really helped me. I mean, it helped me with the grief. I was suffering post-traumatic stress because I remembered when I got the call that my son was dead, and I could not look at that chair. I couldn't go near it.
Right.
And I decided, well, I need to do something about this. So in my morning walks, I used to call my inner work walks, uh-huh. and I would tap. And I did the source tapping for myself so that now I can tell you when I got the call, I can sit in the chair, I can tell you what it was about. I don't like that I have that memory,
uh-huh.
but it's no longer triggers me into the depths of the feeling.
Right, right.
And so I use that. I use it to curb craving.
Mm-hmm.
I teach that a lot, how to curb cravings. And again, if you can eat just one of something, great. But if you can't eat just one, it's the whole bag full of the whole package, then I have that technique to tap on certain points,
mm-hmm.
to say some words to get rid of the craving.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how it works. And it works. So it works for cravings. It works for grief. It works for physical pain. It works for just feeling of loss.
Uh-huh.
Because it connects us to our higher self, that connects us to source. It allows the energy to be open and flow.
Right. We're going to talk with you more, Meryl, after the break about source tapping, and also make sure we give people an opportunity to figure out how to connect with you, not only on Facebook, but to your wonderful website. We have to go to another quick break. More with Meryl Hershey Beck here in just a few moments.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere, with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show. You know, we're talking to Meryl Hersheybeck today. And Meryl, before we go any further and, you know, hit the top of the hour and the end of the show, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you.
So we can go to, you can go to stopeatingyourheartout.com and look, there's a way to send me a message there. And you can also reach me at Meryl@StopEatingYourHeartOut.com.
Yeah, so StopEatingYourHeartOut.com, which is also the title of your book.
Right.
Yeah, which you can get on Amazon and many other places,
it's
too.
It's actually in five formats, because we have the book, the Kindle book, the PDF workbook, the Kindle workbook, and the audiobook that
Wonderful.
I recorded.
Wonderful. So you were talking about the power of source tapping. Now, can you give us an example of how we would do something like that in a stressful situation?
Okay. So I want everybody to know you can get the script for yourself at sourcetapping.com. And I'm just going to do, because we don't have enough time to do it complete, I'm going to go through the script real fast without having anybody echo, because I don't think we'll have time. So let's say you're in grief and you're feeling the loss. Decide how intense is it? That's the first thing. What's the intensity of the loss if zero's none, and the feelings if zero's none, 10 is high? So let's say it's a 6. And then we're going to, if I was with a client, I'll say, what word are you comfortable with? God, higher power, source. And atheists and agnostics usually will say higher self.
Okay.
So then we tap certain points. You start with the edge, outside edge of your hand, and you tap and you say, I release these feelings to source to transform them and my relationship to them, never to take them back again or passively receive them back.
Okay, and so when you say tapping, you're doing it multiple times, right? Not just once.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, I'm tapping with three or four fingers from one hand to the outside edge of my hand,
okay.
Other hand.
Okay.
And then I'm rubbing the sore spot, which is it's the Pledge of Allegiance spots in the U.S. It's between the collarbone and the shoulder on the left side of your chest, unless you're wearing a pacemaker, and use the other side.
Okay.
And you're gently rubbing around and saying three times words such as, even though I have these feelings, I totally and completely accept myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will need to say instead, even though I have these feelings, I want to totally and completely accept myself.
Okay.
Either
so,
one's fine.
So you have to, but you have to be genuine about it.
Yeah. Well,
no?
Fake it until you make it.
Okay, okay.
Fake it till you make it. But that's why if you can't really feel it, you want to, you'll say, even though I have these feelings, I want to totally and completely accept myself.
Right, okay.
And then you tap the top of your head. And at that point, we're starting to bring in this energy into ourselves. Because what we're doing is imagining we're a tree, and the branches are what we're conscious of, and the roots are the unconscious. So
okay.
Tapping the top of your head, you'll say, I bring in source, God, higher power, whatever, into all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue, asking for healing for the highest good. And then we're going to tap each of the points. And again, you can get the script for yourself and you'll see the points. Inside edge of your eyebrows, we would say, I release the sadness and all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue.
Uh-huh.
Then I have people hold the point and think about the sadness, exhale it out.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say, well, I don't have any sadness there. So you think to yourself, well, if there was any sadness, I'm releasing it now and exhale it out.
Right.
And then under eye point would be, I release fear and all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue. Hold, exhale out the fear. Under the nose and under the lip, I do together. I release the shame and embarrassment in all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue. Hold, exhale out shame and embarrassment. Two-finger width below your collarbone. And I do both sides. You don't have to. You can do just one or the other.
Uh-huh.
I release the hurt and grief. And that's the point that I use when grief comes up, just that point sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I release the hurt and grief and all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue. Hold and exhale hurt and grief. Underarm point, 4 inches down below your armpit, is I release the guilt in all the branches to the deepest roots around this issue. Mm-hmm. And then we go up to the third eye, which is between your eyebrows, in the inside of your eyebrows, and that's releasing trauma. And then the inside of your wrist, tapping together to release the pain. And then the inside edge of the little finger against the nail bed releases anger. And then the last one is the forgiveness one. So your pointer finger up by the nail
uh-huh.
and the side by the thumb. I have people say the following. I release all the energy invested in this issue so I can use the energy for my own well-being.
Oh, I like that perspective on forgiveness. That's
yeah,
a good
and
one.
Then,
say that again, Meryl.
Next big one is I totally and completely forgive myself for forgetting
uh-huh.
I'm doing the best I can.
Right. So can you repeat the first part of that again? Because it's very powerful.
I release all the energy invested in this issue so I can use the energy for my own well-being.
I love that.
So instead of being stuck in it, we're ready to move on. We're ready to move the energy through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the next one is self-forgiveness.
Right.
And then you breathe, and then we tap in a positive. You know, people pick pleasure, joy, excitement, calmness, whatever, and we tap that in more quickly and use what I'm calling the pleasure breath, which actually let me demonstrate that because we have another minute.
Okay.
So you breathe into your belly, and when you exhale, you do it with the sound ha
okay.
and a smile on your face. So that's really feeling pleasure, and you're stimulating the vagus nerve and increasing oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone.
Uh-huh.
So it sounds like this. Ha.
I love it.
So we do that at each of the points.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's all described when you get the directions of sourcetapping.com.
And so what is magical about these particular points connected to these various issues?
Well, the acupuncturist will tell us that different points are connected to different things. And whenever there's a block in our energy field is when we're going to feel the physical pain and feel the emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
And by tapping or touching on them, we're allowing the energy to move through.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is sometimes called needleless acupuncture.
Uh-huh.
Or emotional acupuncture.
Right, right. And, you know, as you were saying before, it's so important for us to accept and allow our feelings to move. And that's just another way of moving the energy.
Right. And this is a time of year when there's so many feelings going around.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we don't really want to hamper some of the joy that we could be feeling. And this is a way to move them through.
Right. And in this time of busyness and stress, are you a believer in sort of, you know, limiting our choices, or do you think we should do it all?
Pick out and start prioritizing, because
uh-huh.
that's when we get so overwhelmed and drained, when we think we can do it all.
Right. Right.
And you know, Chris, before we end, I just want to tell people that I have a special deal for them. In case they want to curb their cravings, they can go to stopeatingyourheartout.com/Udemy, Udemy 15, and get like a 90% discount on the course that I'm teaching online.
Wonderful. And I will also put that on the replay on my website, ChristineUpchurch.com.
Okay.
And you'll also be able to listen to Meryl sort of guiding you through the source tapping process if you want to listen to that again. You know, Meryl, this hour has just flown by. And I have to tell everybody that not only are you a respected colleague, and you're also a dear friend. And everybody, this is who I went to Stonehenge with. You're a travel buddy. You're somebody I reach out to when I need help. And I think that you do a wonderful job bringing your gifts to the world. And I thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you on the air. Because I love being with you, even if it's virtually this way, you know, on the phone.
Yeah, it's been great. And thank you. And thank you for listening here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.